You're in the home 6010. Welcome to Fantasy Focus Football.
Football.
It is Thursday.
Football.
September 7th, Field.
We have football tonight.
Sorry
for interrupting.
I wonder who's playing too, Stefania. Field J, Stefania Bell, Daniel Dopp here on Fantasy Focus. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico. See all the ways that you could save. I am dressed up in my Lions blue. In fact, I know who my good friends are because Stefania also dressed up in Honolulu blue. Well, that's close enough to Honolulu blue.
Hashtag Royal blue.
Hashtag one pride.
That's right. Field, why did you wear a peach shirt today?
It's a good question.
He's neutral.
Oh, you're wearing blue jeans.
Blue jeans. There you go.
I like
the shirt. How's that?
You know what? It's a good looking shirt.
He's wearing nice Princeton colors or trying.
Oh, yeah. That works.
Is that what that is?
Is there a Princeton player on either the Lions or the Chiefs?
On the Bengals, Andre Yosefas made the 53.
Yeah, I know that one. No surprise. Yeah.
I had to give him a shout out.
Gotcha.
This doesn't happen every day, Field.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I went to Wesley and I know about not having players on an NFL roster.
So
yeah.
Whenever I can squeeze that in, I will.
That's right. All right. Well, we got a whole bunch of stuff today because, like Field, you already mentioned, it's football today, which means we got our first preview of the season.
Are you ready for a professional thing that I'm going to do here right now, Daniel?
Uh-oh.
Tonight marks the quest for NFL teams that are all chasing the Lombardi Trophy, the Vince Lombardi Trophy, handed out to the Super Bowl winner. Tonight also marks the quest for all fantasy football managers to achieve a championship glory that would result in a belt. And where can you buy yourself a belt?
TrophySmack.com.
That was my professional effort right there.
10% off at TrophySmack.com with the code FOCUSBELT. Ideally, we start winning fantasy championships tonight.
I can't wait till you guys award me that belt when I win the show.
Okay,
league.
Wow.
Ooh, calling your shots.
Pretty much trash talk.
Yeah. All right.
I'm ready for the season.
I'm ready for this season, too. I'm dressed up, good to go. We've been waiting for a really long time.
You know, I know it's not fantasy news, but I'm just going to take over for a minute right now because I'm ready to trash talk because I got my guy Nick Bosa back.
You did.
I'm feeling ready for the season.
You know what? Nick Bosa is also feeling ready for the season for what it's worth. He is very prepared.
Nick Bosa might be the only person now equipped to take more boondoggles than you with $34 million per year salary.
I'm going along as his personal assistant.
That's what it is.
I would do that.
I'm going to cover his training regimen, talk about how he stays healthy during the year.
He seems smart.
I'll work in my ESPN duties on the side.
Yeah, I'm in on that, Stefania. All right, we got a whole bunch to get into today. We're going to talk about some injuries we need to make sure you know about heading into week one, as well as a little bit of future thinking. But first, we're going to start with the news we have. Stefania, Cooper Kupp has officially been listed out for week one. Sean McVay said he will be out week one, but he did not rule out the possibility that he may end up on IR at some point. Something that we talked about on the show actually a couple days ago you brought up. Not something that's happened yet, but just something for us to be aware of. What else do we know about Cooper Kupp right now?
I really think that Sean McVay sort of echoed the things that are important to know. One, that the injury itself is not serious. He didn't have a glaring setback, meaning not a new injury on top of what he had. That this is also a question of him, you know, getting comfortable and then getting ready to play football. They really want him back when they hope they've passed the window of substantial risk for re-injury and they can have him for the rest of the season. We should be hearing, obviously, before the weekend, we will know.
Okay. Last night.
Yeah, if they place him on IR by Saturday at 4 p.m., then you'd have not just a roster spot, but that clock of four games would begin for the Rams.
Yeah. Field, last night, you and Stefania both were a part of the War Room League draft. And you actually took Cooper Kupp in that draft. How far did he fall in a 16-team league?
I'm going to pause for 1 second, and I want the viewers and listeners to just venture some sort of guess.
Just a guess.
Take a second here. Take a beat. Decide what pick overall you think Cooper Kupp is going to go in a 16-team league. 3, 2, 1. 71st overall.
Wow.
71st overall for Cooper Kupp.
Wow.
And that's where I took him. That was the fifth round. So my fifth round pick is Cooper Kupp. Now, as I said in the pre-show, I was talking to you guys, and I said, Cooper Kupp might not play until week 18, and I'll feel like an absolute idiot, right? But if I get Cooper Kupp back, even if he does go on IR, and he does return after those four games, week 5 on, if you have Cooper Kupp or a lot of Cooper Kupp, that might wind up being a value play. At some point in a 16-team league where half the teams make the playoffs, you have two challenges you're trying to accomplish. One is to just get in.
Just get there. Yeah.
Second one is having enough upside in your team to make a push when it counts the most late. So mm-hmm. I sort of did the risk calculation and figured that if I have half a season of Cooper Kupp, I'm going to have to be really patient. But if I can just stay in the mix until that time, then I think I might have a chance to achieve some upside late in the season.
I also think, what round was it?
Fifth round.
So it's important because it's such a big league. You know, that if you hear 71st, you think, wow, that's so far down. But in a 10-team league, he wouldn't go that far because you would have filled out more of your roster by then. So I think just understanding where it is relative to how many chess pieces you have on your roster already. Yeah.
I'll give people some other names that were being drafted just to hear this. And we won't talk about the Warham League extensively, but just a sense of players that were taken right after Cooper Kupp. Mike Evans, who I thought about, Kirk Cousins, Brandon Ayuk, Jahan Dotson, Aaron Rodgers, Christian Kirk, Khalil Herbert, Dalvin Cook, Cortland Sutton, like, Tua, Kyle
I like
Pitts,
some of those names. They're not even in the same echelon as Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, again, I think that if I'm going back to the idea of like which one of them has the chance to hit like maximum upside and be the difference between a strong playoff push and a team that sort of fizzles prior to the playoffs, my calculation was that Cooper Kupp certainly has a lot more upside than all of those players. Last thing I'll note is that I took Patrick Mahomes in this draft early. And because it's a 16-team league, quarterback depth does become a problem.
Sure.
And it also builds such a cushion for you, right? Like there are weeks where like your flex plays, two flexes as well. You have some random players that are being started in your flex.
Oh yeah.
So having an elite quarterback buys you a bit of a cushion in general in a 16-team league, especially with the second flex spot. So yeah, I decided it was time to roll the dice on Cooper Kupp. And if by the end of the season I have no hair left, it's probably because Cooper Kupp never got back healthy, or he came back and then got hurt again, or he came back and was a shell of himself. But if my hair stays voluminous and hopefully coiffed perfectly, then maybe Cooper Kupp is balling and I feel great.
I've never even heard that word. I don't even know which one's right. Is it coiffed?
Coiffed. Yeah. I don't know. I use the French. Yeah. I use the non-French version.
That's what it was.
Okay. I will tell you, I drafted two Lions back to back in the Warham League. So who is really your best friend?
I already said it was you.
Yeah.
You're wearing the royal blue.
You know what?
Let's just get right into it. Let's do our Thursday night preview lineup locks for this Thursday night game. Include Patrick Mahomes, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Those are the three obvious guys. Obviously, the big question here is Travis Kelce. He hyperextended his knee at practice recently. He's going to test it out today. Here's where I'm at. If he plays, you're playing him in fantasy. If he doesn't play, which we will hopefully find out a little bit later today. Then you've got to make a pivot to go another direction. Really quickly, before I ask you about this field, where did Travis Kelce go last night in the War Room League?
Number two overall. Which I thought in a league full of people that a lot of reporters, Schefter, Moore, Jeff Darlington, Stefania obviously is dialed in as anybody. There are a lot of people in that league that know a lot of things.
Wow.
I kind of thought that Kelce would gravitate more towards the back end of the first round. Instead, it goes second overall to Jeff Darlington. So maybe Darlington knows something.
Stefania, do you know anything that Jeff Darlington
doesn't know? He does cover the Chiefs.
He does. He's there frequently.
He does
end
up covering the Chiefs a lot. Listen, so let's go back to what the injury is, bone bruise. And before everybody out there started, because you'll hear this a lot during the season, if I called it, instead of a bone bruise, a trabecular microfracture injury, would that make you a little more concerned than bone bruise?
Can you say that word one more time?
It's two words. Trabecular microfracture.
Trabecular?
Mm-hmm. Microfracture.
Okay. Alex
Trebek? I was going to say trabecular. I think he must have been the first one to have
R.I.P.
the surgery.
Legend.
The reason I say it is because I think it just gets dismissed so often. Like, whatever, it's a bruise. Like, you bump the table, you get a bruise. It is actually an injury to the small cells that are the architecture of the bone. Okay, and your bone has nerve endings and your bone can bleed. So that's why you see swelling. You see edema on the MRI. That's what they saw. And that is what defines a bone bruise. Now, it's a wide spectrum in terms of how significant the injury is, how long it takes to recover. And the good news is that Travis Kelce had no ACL injury. Why does that matter? Because when he hyperextended his knee, he could have damaged the ACL. And in fact, we see bone bruises often in conjunction with an ACL injury. So definitely they dodged a bullet there. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that happens when you get this is swelling in the area, pain, discomfort. The problem is if you have a lot of swelling, you don't have your normal range of motion. And if you try to play through a lot of swelling, you run the risk of then further injuring the knee. So when you heard reports of they're going to see how the swelling goes, because he did have some pretty decent swelling, they want to see if they can resolve that before they're willing to put him back out on the field. That's really what's at issue. He wants to play. He's a tough guy. He obviously hasn't missed time since his rookie season. But it's really a question of, can they effectively get the swelling down? Can he function in a way that is considered safe for them? And they have him out on the field. The really good news, if you get past tonight, I mean, it's just unfortunate it's Thursday, because it sounds like if they had more time, wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
But this is really a short-term injury from what the information that we're gathering is that something that could have been multiple weeks, bone bruises can be longer than a month. Hmm. But in this case, all the chatter is positive around it.
Yeah, and Clark Hunt, their CEO and owner, was on Good Morning Football this morning and did not dismiss the possibility of him playing tonight, which echoes what Stefania just said. It might be a long shot, but at least it suggests this is probably not going to be a month-long injury for Travis Kelce. You said it, Daniel. Obviously, if he plays, you're playing him. If he doesn't play, though, I would consider other options beyond the in-house option of Noah Gray.
Yeah, if Kelce doesn't play, the pass catchers that I'm thinking are going to see increased volume are not the tight ends that I want to go out and try and roster. I'm thinking about Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney. Do you have a Chiefs wide receiver in this offense, regardless of what happens with Travis Kelce, that you prefer over the other?
Yeah, I think going into tonight, it's Sky Moore. Not that Kadarius Toney doesn't have a ton of talent, but as we know, he's missed, close to a month of practice time. Now, he has been practicing this week. I just don't think you can compare a full month of Sky Moore working with the starters with the every team. Single day to Kadarius Toney getting caught up in 3 days with Patrick Mahomes. Anything can happen. But if I'm playing a Chiefs wide receiver tonight, it is Sky Moore.
Yeah, me too. And I think really those are the ones I guess you could look at, maybe Kadarius Toney if you really needed to. But he's outside my top, I think, 35 right now at wide receiver. I'm focusing on Sky Moore, and that's really it. You're starting Patrick Mahomes, you're starting Travis Kelce, you're starting Sky Moore for me.
Yeah.
And you're looking at maybe the running back position. I think this Isaiah Pacheco is a little bit too far down the list. I don't have him as an RB2 if you need to use him, because you've got an Alvin Kamara type of a situation. But I'm staying away from Isaiah Pacheco here this week. He's more of a flex play for me.
So I think it's worth noting at the beginning of the season that when you hear us talking about our rankings and talking about start sit, not that we don't play in 16-team leagues, because I know all of us do, including the Veterans League and the War Room League and other leagues. But generally speaking, when you hear us talking about a player, think more 10 to 12-team leagues, because the vast majority of our users on ESPN.com do play 10 or 12-team leagues. If you're in a 14 or 16-team league, then obviously be mindful of that as we are doing our analysis. I think Pacheco's close in a 10 or 12-team league, because I do think there were people that were patient at running back. So I don't think that Pacheco is a total throwaway starter. I've got him as running back 26 this week. So I'm a little bit more optimistic than the rest of the consensus. And Pacheco, coming off of injury recovery of his own this summer, but hasn't been not on the game status report, he is going to play tonight. The things you like about Pacheco is that he's a super hard-running, physical player who finished really strong for the Chiefs in the postseason and became their starter. What we don't know is that for a team that obviously has aspirations to play 21 games this year, which includes the 17 in the regular season and up to 4 in the playoffs, are they going to ever utilize a running back that heavily? That's why Pacheco falls a little bit further down than you would think a starting running back for the Chiefs would. Also, as we know, he's not going to see a ton of pass game utilization. That's going to be Jerick McKinnon. So in a 12-team league, I think he is a borderline starter. In a 10-team league where your draft construction was to be really patient with your second running back or just go zero RB, I think it's justifiable. But there certainly are better options on average for your second running back spot.
Consensus rankings have him at running back 29 for week one, as high as running back 24 with Tristan and as low as running back 34 for Mike. So there is a little bit of a range there for Isaiah Pacheco.
Mike is just trying to completely, what's the opposite of engendering yourself to somebody?
He's trying to get back into my good graces is what he's trying to do.
He's trying to make himself public enemy number one to every running back out there. Rashad White first, Isaiah Pacheco now. Second. Yeah, geez, Mike, what do those guys do to you?
I'll tell you what, if there's a running back I want to start in this game other than Jahmyr Gibbs, I actually would rather play David Montgomery from the other side of the football. I think David Montgomery is in a spot where this Detroit Lions team... Well, let me ask you this question. and this is not as serious as the cornerback conversations that we've had, but behind Amon-Ra St. Brown, the depth is not super great at wide receiver, right? Mm. We really think that they're going to rely on Jahmyr Gibbs. We've talked about that, how they're going to use him in ways that we're not expecting. I think David Montgomery is also going to be heavily utilized, especially if Chris Jones is not in this game, not having your superstar defensive tackle. Is there a chance that
should I break some news for you right here, right now, Daniel?
He's not going to play.
Kickoff is in, if my math is correct, 9 hours.
Yes.
It would take a freaking miracle of the highest order for the Chiefs to A, negotiate a deal, Chris Jones to then sign that deal, take a physical, get his, like, he ain't playing tonight. You're catching the Chiefs without Chris Jones tonight. Like, I've seen some wild stuff in my time. If he plays tonight,
that would be it.
It will be the craziest thing that I have ever seen in quite some time.
Well, then great. So then fire up all your Lions running backs.
But assuming that is the case, because it would seem extremely unlikely not the case that David Montgomery does see a value boost, because this Lions offensive line, as we know, is one of the strengths of this team. The reasons why Montgomery is not inside our top 20 or 25 for running backs are things that we've talked about throughout the offseason.
He is consensus running back 24.
Okay, I'm sorry. So I have him as 28. So I'm a little bit lower on David Montgomery. Whoa! My apologies. Well, the problems are this, that you know who the passing game utilization is going to be. It's going to be the Jahmyr Gibbs show as far as pass catching goes for these Lions running backs. And then the other thing would be, even without Travis Kelce, the Chiefs are awesome on offense. They could have me catching passes and they'd probably be fine. And so game flow could be a little bit negative here for the Lions, which could lead to even more Jahmyr Gibbs and less David Montgomery. So he is, a lot of what I said for Isaiah Pacheco applies to David Montgomery in terms of whether I would be playing him or not tonight.
All right. Let's make a prediction on this game, because I don't think there's anyone else we're really thinking about starting within fantasy.
I don't know if we built a graphic or not. Do you want to just reveal that Daniel is taking the Lions right now? Or do you want to like put it on the record yourself?
I already put it out there when I did my Patrick Mahomes video today. Yeah. Last day of my 75-day countdown. Thank you to everybody for making sure that you watched that. It was so much fun. Thank you for if you participated in that.
A lot of work.
I already said in that 75-day countdown, even though Patrick Mahomes is going to start 0-1, he's likely going to be my top quarterback for the next decade. So I've already put it out there, field. The universe knows I am taking the Detroit Lions tonight. Stefania, what about you?
You know, it's tempting because there are a lot of things working in Lions' favor, but you know what isn't?
Tell me.
Arrowhead Stadium. It is. I mean, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
The ding for Arrowhead. It is like the 12th man. I mean, listen, as somebody who lived in Kansas City for a while and knows how loud it can get there in the opening night, I mean, there will be no better place to tailgate than Arrowhead tonight. Ooh. I mean, that barbecue in Kansas City, I mean, it is going to be fun. And I'm so sorry, Daniel.
What?
I tried to bond with Stefania. You here, but I'm going with the Chiefs because it's the Chiefs at home at Arrowhead. Like,
what about you, Field?
As far as the Chiefs versus the Lions, Daniel, I was hoping that you would walk out of the studio for about 30 seconds right now while I reveal my answer. Believe it or not, I'm going out on a limb and taking the defending Super Bowl champions at home. We have this awesome league that we play in. It's Michigan men. It's all of Daniel's buddies and some of our buddies from the Holmes Brewery who just absolutely live for Lions football. I will probably... Is there a way to kick somebody out of a group chat?
I think there might be.
I'm expecting that to happen at some point here because, I'm taking the Chiefs as well. Sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
I know.
You'll
root for all the rest. I mean, it's not... We're not rooting.
I'm
Lions.
Rooting for the Lions.
I'm wrong...
Yeah, but Arrowhead...
If I'm wrong, here's the beauty of it. You get to laugh at me tomorrow.
Field, how did you guys not trust me? I knew. I'm told you. You even got the script in the mail yesterday. For some reason, you're still taking the Chiefs. I don't know why. I don't get it. Yeah. All right. Field Yates, Stefania Bell, Daniel up here on Fantasy Focus. We are going to dive into some quick injury updates heading into week one. Stefania Bell, we're going to start with Mark Andrews, who I'm told has a quad injury. We're already worried about Travis Kelce. Don't tell me we got to be worried about Mark Andrews as well.
Here's the thing. Mark Andrews has only missed one game due to injury in his entire career.
Really?
Did you know that? Yeah. Incredibly durable guy, but is dealing with a quad injury that has caused him to miss the last six practices. These are things when it's, we're in the first week. We don't know this because the injury reports are just coming out. So it looks brand new to you, but to people like Jameson Hensley, who cover the team and document these things, for us, he has missed six straight practices, which Jameson said he can't remember that many consecutive misses for Mark Andrews in his entire career. Wow. So it tells you a couple things. Number one, it's a legit injury. But number two, they're looking at the season, as all teams are. So a lot of caution up front. I do expect that he's going to play. The question is, how will he look when he plays? He's so good at getting separation, creating separation. Is he going to be a little bit hampered by this? The feeling is he's not 100% himself, but the expectation is that he's going to play.
So the idea that he's sitting out those practices is more, we're projecting that it's to make sure that he's good for week one, not like he is so, like his quad is in his
point. It's a combination. I mean, it's definitely an injury.
That's a part of it, but like they're being cautious.
But
like you
also,
said.
Yeah, I think leading up to week one, they've kept him, you know, relatively quiet. But they do expect him to play.
All right, let's talk about Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who had hand surgery like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, wrist surgery.
Is there a chance that you can play football 2 weeks after wrist surgery?
August 24th. So one of the things that it surprises people when guys come back so quickly after surgery, but often they're implanting hardware, which actually stabilizes the fracture. He had what Pete Carroll called a slight fracture. If you have a fracture, you have a fracture. So even if it's a small one, it's still a break in the bone. And he had surgery and they put in hardware and he came back within a couple of days and was trying to catch passes, even with his hand wrapped and protected. So I think that speaks to him and his work ethic too, that he's trying to prove that he could function quickly. My question was always, are you going to have the range of motion? Are you going to have the strength? Are you going to be able to do everything you need with the hand to be out there and play? But certainly they're making it look like it's a possibility that he's on the field. No. I don't know how much he'll play, sure. You know, because he's been limited up to this point. But he has been doing work since 5 days post-op. So,
wow.
Yeah,
you know what
impressive.
I need to see one time? I want to see, like, you know how sometimes defensive players with, like, a broken hand will just come out there with the club?
Yeah.
I think a wide receiver should do that one time. Just get weird out there and see what happens, right? Jackson's, he's a talented dude. He can even make some
just
one-handed catches.
Yeah, it's only one-handed
like
catches.
Find a way to, like, you know, lodge the ball between the club
dude,
and his head.
If you can get
that could work,
someone
right?
to make a glove for the club that you could then stick against your helmet when you catch it, right? Like it's the glove club.
Like stick them yes. on the cast.
Who was the... Oh God, this is so bad because I know NFL history too. Who was the man who was legendary for wearing like just... pounds of stick 'em per game.
I thought
game.
Jerry Rice was one of
I
those
was
guys.
Gonna,
no, it was
yeah.
Jerry
shouldn't
Rice.
Say that.
No, no, there was somebody who was like, it was his thing. God. It was,
I don't remember.
Let me see if I can figure. I think I'm...
Wildfield is figuring
Wildfield
it out.
Wildfield is sure figuring that out.
I thought it was Cliff Branch. Was it Cliff?
Might be.
I'm going Cliff Branch. I'm going to Google it. If it's definitely not Cliff Branch, I will not follow up. If it definitely is, I'll brag about it. Give me 30 seconds.
All right.
It was his left wrist, by the way. So okay. I'm assuming, I think he's right-handed guy. So, you know, non-dominant hand, that does help. I'm just excited. Like,
yes, it was Cliff Branch.
Are you sure?
Okay.
I'm just, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Take your moment.
No, I just, that was my brag
that
right
was
there.
It.
That was it.
If I guessed it wrong, I was never going to like ever mention it again.
I will, Stefania, looking at this situation and the way that we have it ranked field, you're playing DK Metcalf, you're playing Tyler Lockett, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is not someone that we have ranked for week one. I need to see how that hand is going to respond before I'm trusting him in my fantasy lineup.
I think that's fair because I don't know that he's going to get a ton of targets. I mean, he might have one or two kind of test the hand out.
Yep.
We'll see how it goes. I'm just excited to see when he gets to his full potential, knowing this guy played in college with Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson.
Dude.
And Garrett Wilson said he's the best one of the three of them, which
that's saying something.
Is saying something.
That's saying something. So. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Talk about Jerry Jeudy.
I got to admit something.
Oh, no.
I was wrong. I just found a picture of Lester Hayes. I'm sorry, of Cliff Branch, who was applying some stickum on. Keith, of course not cool. Keith knows this, who's very cool and smart and brilliant.
And knows I just said NFL this, history.
It was Lester Branch. So my apologies to to
Lester. Everybody.
Lester Hayes, excuse me.
I just combined. Was there a Lester Branch that I didn't know about?
I combined two names in one. Lester Hayes.
Lester Hayes.
Who did he play for?
Stick 'em pink. Also the Raiders. So right team, just wrong player. Sorry.
Gotcha.
Cheating Raiders.
Also.
Wow.
Jerry Rice ever played for the Raiders? All right, let's talk about Jerry Jeudy.
He literally did.
He did. He did. Stefania.
We don't talk about that era.
I've heard. I've been trying to figure out in all my fantasy teams where I've drafted Jerry Jeudy what I'm going to do for week one because I don't think he's going to be out there this week getting those vibes. Any other updates on Jerry Jeudy?
I would just say that this is a reminder for everybody out there who plays fantasy football that limited practices, when reported as such, are not all created equal.
Okay.
Because you can be limited and you can go do a little teeny bit of work and then you're off to the side. the rest of the time, or you can be limited and take all but a handful of reps.
Right.
Yeah. And those are qualified as the same designation.
Which one is Jerry Jeudy?
Guess which one he is.
I'm going with the ladder.
I'm going with the first former one.
I almost screw that up. Apples and trees and formers and ladders.
Idiots. Apple does not fall. Fuck,
no, yes! Yes! Come on.
I cannot.
It's been like 2 weeks.
You made this happen.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm about to take one of your honorary degrees away.
You guys
got to
start
articulating.
Doing the DraftKings read. You'll be good at speaking after that.
It is the former, and he's really not doing anything but jogging lightly. He's not in on the team rotations for,
okay.
I feel like there's this pressure. You know, Jerry Jeudy, it was a bad hamstring injury when it happened. We shall see. Look, they can tease us all they want. And if they want to say he's limited and all that, I just hope that he does not return before he's in a good place, or it's going to be a real problem for him all year.
Totally with you, Stefania. I've got Cortland Sutton this week inside my top 30 because of the fact I think right now he's at wide receiver 27 field. Do you know where you've got him?
I was like, why can't I find Cortland Sutton? It turns out I was looking at the wide receiver rankings. I'm on a heater so far at this point.
Cortland Sutton is the wide receiver. Look at that. Look. Field.
Now you guys have taken away my ability this week. I am going to do something about this. Yes, I do not have Jerry Jeudy in my rankings. I have Cortland Sutton as wide receiver 24 against the Raiders.
Okay, so definitely a flex play for us this week without
Maybe even
Cortland
a starter.
Sutton. Maybe even a starter, absolutely. All right, let's talk about Jalen Waddle. Stefania, when I saw Jalen Waddle's name on this list, I was a little bit nervous. And I don't, an oblique injury
Do
is what I found.
Do you recall when I came back from training camp, I said I had a great conversation with him one day and the next day.
So it's your fault.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, okay, I know. It is. But also, I'll credit myself with the fact that it wasn't that bad. But he left practice holding the midsection, and they, because it's not injury report time, they really didn't have to say much about it at the time. And ultimately, we now know it's been labeled an oblique injury because they had to put it on the injury report. One of the things I learned when talking with him was I asked him about, he was banged up quite a bit, you know, both the last 2 years, but he always played through things. He said playing in Alabama really forced him to be mentally tough, and he learned how to play through things. We all know about Alabama that a lot of those guys will play despite being banged up. And I think that just tells you everything you need to know about Jalen Waddle for this week. I expect him to play, and I don't expect there to be any issue.
I am with you on that. All right, last wide receiver that we have here. Well, maybe not last wide receiver, but one more wide receiver we have. Terry McLaurin, been dealing with turf toe. We've been talking about this for a little while now, Stefania. Have we gotten to the point where we don't need to be worried about it, or is this still something that's lingering for him?
Well, we saw it in the preseason game when he actually had the injury happen, so it was much more on our radar. And turf toe, as we've talked about, can be a whole spectrum of injuries, but it sounded like a mild case.
Yep.
Shout out to Scott Abraham of ABC 7 News, our affiliate down in Washington, D.C., because he asked great questions of Terry McLaurin in the open locker room. And Terry McLaurin was very candid in his responses. And if you want to go see it, go take a look at Scott's video. But basically, he said, I wouldn't be out here doing the practice that I'm doing if I was concerned about making it worse. Okay. But he also said one day at a time. So yesterday was a big day for him because he wanted to see how it felt tonight or today, Thursday after getting back to practice Wednesday and testing it. He feels good. He feels like he has no limitations. He said he needs to know for sure that he can push off, plant, pivot, all the things we talk about without making it worse. But as of right now, he certainly sounded like a player who expects to play as long as things progress. Now, I thought he might be out the first week, but it sounds like part of what he's doing in these early practice sessions is building his own confidence that he's at a place. He said he wouldn't do anything to put himself or the team at risk by trying to go out there too soon. It's a long season. All the things we've sort of talked about, but to hear it directly from the player, I thought it was excellent. And really gives you the insight to how these guys approach coming back, especially when you're talking week one in a 17-week season. They want to be smart and not do anything to set themselves back.
I love that.
He did not mention that they were playing the Cardinals, but I will. Because,
that
you know,
helps. Yeah.
Yeah, not you know, good. I think if he had hesitation, he would sit out. So I think we'll have a pretty good idea by the end of practice reports tomorrow about where he's leaning.
I've got him as wide receiver 26 right now in my rankings. A little bit of a discount on Terry McLaurin, even if he does play, just because it doesn't sound like he'll be 100% by Sunday, even if he is good enough to go. So a slight discount there. also the emergence of Jahan Dotson, who has been so spectacular throughout training camp. So two players that are on the fantasy radar at wide receiver for the Commanders. Wide receiver 26 for me with Terry McLaurin, and then I've got Jahan Dotson at wide receiver 33. So not that far behind in our wide receiver ranks.
That's pretty close. ADP. Yeah, we're not in draft season anymore.
I have totally screwed this show up. My carelessness is so
now
contagious.
We're all saying stuff
you guys are all
right.
Saying things that you're not intending to say, and ADP and apples. Yeah,
we all have butterflies. Players have to
first
get the jitters out.
Yeah, of course,
That's us because we're all so excited.
Technically, still preseason for us, right?
That's right. All right, let's move on. Field, why don't we pay a couple of bills first, and then we're going to look ahead to the future, if you don't mind.
Like, when you're talking like 20 years down the line?
I'm not going to tell you. I'll let you know when we get there.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I would love it.
Of course you wouldn't. When it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you can save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Whatever you're looking forward to this season, there's one thing that pairs well with every great moment. Do you know what it is? It's an ice cold Miller Lite. At just 96 calories a can, Miller Lite is the only light beer you'll want to celebrate with all season long. So whether you're at a stadium, playing fantasy football, or watching the game at home or at the bar, Miller Lite is here to make your football season taste like Miller time. From kickoff till the clock runs out, you can't go wrong with a Miller Lite in your hand. It's the only light beer with a taste worthy of our national obsession, because what's the point of having a beer if it doesn't taste like beer, guys?
Nothing.
It's only got 96 calories. Great field, only 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving with a smooth taste and a crisp, clean finish. You can get the taste you want without the calories. So this season, crack open a light beer that hits your taste buds so hard you can feel it in your heart. Make it Miller time all season long. Get Miller Lite delivered right to your door. Visit MillerLite.com/FFF, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Milwaukee, Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. All right, let's look ahead. Our producer, David Presley, said, guys, I know we're looking at week one, but let's do a little bit of prognostication. Yeah. Let's do a little look ahead to what do we think we're going to talk about in week two based on what happens here in week one.
This was, I think inspired by a segment that I think we don't do anymore, but that we used to do. Sort of. It's an old Paul Feinbaum SportsCenter segment. He would come on Saturday morning SportsCenter, and they would do Sunday morning headlines on Saturday, right? Basically, he'd say like, hey, you know, I'm just making this up here. Like, Purdue's going to upset Ohio State, and that's going to be the big thing that we're all talking about tomorrow. And that's sort of what we're doing here. We're talking about the thing that we'll be talking about on Monday, but just doing it on Thursday.
On Thursday,
yes,
projecting
we borrowed Stefania's big brain and crystal ball, and next thing you know, we've got ourselves a forecast for Monday.
I'm with you. That's tough.
You didn't seem to agree with that. What part did you disagree with?
Big brain.
What do you mean you don't have a big brain?
What are you, smooth brain?
Smooth brain. It's...
Well, like, you know how your brain gets a bunch of wrinkles in it when you learn stuff?
Oh.
If you got a smooth brain, it means you're a dummy.
Oh. Can you feel your brain like
no,
through your skull?
My brain is full. That's what it is.
Is that what
it's
it is?
Full.
It's full.
I feel like some stuff needs to get dumped out.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's
do
out.
That now.
Let's
what do you get rid of?
Yeah. Fields, we're going to kick it off with you. If you had to have a week two, we are reacting to this now. What is our thing we're talking about?
Lamar Jackson absolutely mashes in week one, and we're saying to ourselves, did we overthink it and not take Lamar Jackson soon enough in our draft? Did we spend way too much time focusing on three quarterbacks being in tier one and not four with Lamar Jackson? This new look Ravens offense, still the most electric run in the history of NFL quarterbacks, facing off against a Houston Texans team that will be feisty as heck on defense, extremely well coached, but still not, I don't think, having the personnel to slow down this high-octane Baltimore Ravens attack. Lamar Jackson steals the show on Sunday. We talk about it on Monday.
Wow. How do you feel about that, Stefania? You went into Lamar Jackson?
I am. We had a show earlier where I don't remember what the segment was. Maybe Presley can remind me. But I picked Lamar Jackson as the guy that I would want to be targeting. Was it a targeting in drafts or something?
That,
but
anyway,
I was higher on him than I felt like everybody else was. I felt like it had gone sort of quiet.
Yeah.
And I felt like that it was like leftover uneasiness from last year. And now you got a healthy Lamar Jackson, a happy Lamar Jackson, happy with new pass catchers that he can throw the ball to, you know, not starting off with a running back coming off an ACL injury. So, like, there are a lot of reasons. And by the way, even if he does pass more, he's still going to run. I agree with Field. Like, you take that out of the quarterback. No. So
I am excited.
I love him.
I said this yesterday. I am excited to see the verticality of this offense with Todd Monken as the offensive coordinator and seeing what is it going to look like with these pass catchers. We are so excited and we get enamored, obviously, with rookies, but like Zay Jones, I'm pumped to see what he looks like. Can OBJ recapture who OBJ used to be? It's been a tough sledding for him able to stay healthy. Wait, which one? I'm saying for both of them. I'm just excited to see both of them.
Oh.
Like all of the, I'm excited. I love Zay Flowers. Can't wait to see what he looks like this year. I also want to see what OBJ looks like. I hope that he can stay healthy because in this offense, if you give Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, a healthy OBJ and a guy in a first round pick and Zay Flowers that can hopefully come on and use that speed, there's just so much to look forward to, Field. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Why we're like, hey man, was this guy someone that we may have overlooked? It's not like he's not maybe the best athlete at the quarterback position.
A couple of things here is that, first of all, second straight day with a verticality reference.
I did say verticality twice in a row.
No. Back-to-back days.
Yeah, you're right.
And we weren't even sure if it was a word until yesterday.
Stefan, you didn't say it wasn't a word.
It's confirmed a word. NBA people use it. Verticality, bravo for getting that weaved in on back-to-back days. And Stefan is holding herself accountable for not recalling which of like the 27 shows we've already done that she bring up Lamar Jackson in a certain context. I don't recall what I had for breakfast this morning. Yes. So like
you have
a little bit
babies,
of grace.
So like
that's true, but I don't remember.
Have that excuse.
Do you remember what you had for breakfast this morning?
I don't eat breakfast.
Yeah, me either.
This is people who
wait, are you guys intermittent fasters?
I am sort of an intermittent faster.
Yeah.
How do you psychos do this?
I just don't. It's on days I work out, it's easier.
Okay.
What's working out like?
Wait.
And then I work out in the morning and I have like electrolyte water and black coffee and that carries me to like 1 o'clock.
Hold on now. 1 o'clock. And how about you? Before I start to go off on her.
I usually wake up and have caffeine in the morning, but it's not a coffee.
Right. You're a Mountain Dew guy.
I'm a soda guy.
Yeah. So that doesn't qualify because you can't have the sugar. Or else
diet
that
or
breaks
regular
the
sugar,
fasting.
Soda.
It's regular. I need to. But you know what? I have gotten to the point now where I'm having one in the morning and then I'm not having one for the rest of the day. Like that is my caffeine.
Okay. So what time do you eat? Whatever, I'm not going to count
one,
soda.
12:30 or 1.
What is wrong with you people?
Am I the only one that's not hungry? No, but you have the metabolism of a hummingbird. Let me tell you, Field, I swear to God, I am on the
wait till fourth meal. I truly believe I'll be on my fourth, not meal.
Yeah,
my
but you eat like little snack. I sit with you on Sunday mornings and I watch you eat like a little granola bar.
I also eat
and
like,
he has like a little snack and a little like
I know, but
bird.
I also eat like an actual breakfast too. Like I can't remember what it was, but I'm pretty sure I had breakfast this morning. I know what it was. We had oatmeal. My older daughter loves oatmeal, so we eat it together in the mornings. The whole thing. She makes a mess of it. It's cute until I have to clean it up. But I had oatmeal and eggs, and like
by
1 o'clock.
But you probably eat dinner right on time. You're a schedule guy. Well, I know people like you. You have your meals at your certain time.
It used to be that way until kids.
rude of you.
Yeah, I know.
Right? How dare they?
How do you not eat until 1 o'clock?
I know, and then you got to get it all in by like 8 o'clock, so can't eat after 8. That's a hard part for me,
I need people to tweet at us and let me know whether or not eating.
If you intermittent fast, you feel me.
Okay.
But it's actually a preference of mine too. Yeah. So anyway.
Okay. I am so confused.
Let's go.
Field, Jason, Stefania Bell, Daniel Dobson.
I'm jealous.
Reset, and here we are talking about what we're going to be talking about here in week two. Stefania, Field just let us know that we may be talking about Lamar Jackson. Did we wait too long? How good is he going to be? Who do you think we're going to be talking about in week two?
Well, we talk about the Jets all the time anyway.
Okay.
So, of course, we're going to be talking about the Jets. But the question is it going to be the good, the bad, the ugly? And I don't know which way this is going to go, but it's very exciting because it's a huge first game for them. But to me, there are so many questions that are still unanswered.
Yeah.
And I think if you've been watching Hard Knocks, you can appreciate some of those unanswered questions, starting with the offensive line. And are they protecting Aaron Rodgers enough? Because we saw angry Aaron Rodgers when he felt like they weren't.
Yep.
We've got Mekhi Becton rotating positions over to the right tackle side.
He's so big. When I saw him stand next to Aaron Rodgers, it was like he's a giant.
And he is.
He is a giant.
He is awesome about what he does, but he's had injury issues in the past. This is a switch for him to be on the right side permanently. So we haven't really seen them play extensively together.
Yeah.
And while you're thinking, this is a fantasy show, why are you talking about this? Well, because Aaron Rodgers being protected and feeling like he has time to do what he does is going to impact all of your fantasy players. And we still don't know who are going to be his primary pass catchers? Okay, Garrett Wilson, we all know that, but who is next? Is it Alan Lazard, who had a shoulder injury in the preseason, the AC joint injury?
Yep.
Don't really know how healthy he is. Where does that come? Mecole Hardman had a finger injury, might be moving down the depth chart, might be Randall
Didn't
Cobb that's jumping up over him. All of a sudden, now Aaron Rodgers has two guys that he used to throw to all the time that he basically wanted to come there, and Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb. So how does that get divvied up? To me, for fantasy purposes, that is all very interesting. And then, oh, by the way, there's a running back situation for the Jets with Breece Hall, who has not played a snap of actual competitive football yet and is coming off ACL injury. And Dalvin Cook, who has not played with the Jets. And so he's going to be offloading Breece Hall. But how much work does each of them get in the first game? How did they look? What does this offense look like? And by the way, if they win, you know all Jets fans are like, they're going to the Super Bowl. They've already won the Super Bowl.
0-0-0-1 Eastern time on Tuesday morning. It's time to get up with the future Super Bowl champions, the New York Jets.
That's why the headlines are going to be either going to the Super Bowl or they're doomed. And they're terrible. And how do we save the Jets season? Those are the two choices.
I don't know which way
it goes. It's one of them.
It is going to be one of those things. Yesterday on the show, we talked about how these Jets are taking on a pretty tough Bills defense
here in week one.
And that is a part of the conversation.
Is that where you want to start? Like, really? No, not you. I mean, if you're the Jets.
If you're the Jets, you're like, really? The Bills week one? That's what we get to have? And that is a big part of this conversation because Aaron Rodgers being able to start off strong
touched Stefania's hand unknowingly.
I looked at him like, stop touching me. It's like involuntary a child.
Involuntary movements.
Don't touch me.
I know.
Anyways, I think that's a big conversation too. The Bills are like, it's not just about how is Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson going to look. It's going to be like the Bills are really awesome too.
It would actually be ironically funny if just for the next month and a half, we just didn't talk about the Jets, the Cowboys, the
any
Chiefs.
Of the big teams.
We're just we're an exclusively Cardinals and Titans podcast.
Oh, only stop.
They're like, oh, that's interesting. Like some really deep dives on Michael Wilson again next week. Do like him as a late round sleeper, by the way, if you're going to do a last minute draft. Daniel, who is your week two headline before week one even begins?
Before week one even begins, it's similar to what Stefania said because I was very much thinking about the overreaction angle.
Okay.
Week one, we know.
Tends to happen, right?
Anthony Richardson is going to play the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then we have been waiting to see what this kid is going to look like. And after whatever we see in week one, guess who we get in week two? The Houston Texans.
Ooh, okay.
The Houston Texans, I think, is a matchup that I think that will be really nice for Anthony Richardson. So what kind of overreaction are we going to have based on the first week of this incredible rookie that has as wide of a range of outcomes as basically anybody else in the game of football right now?
So let's plant our flag.
I'm going to say he is going to be a top 15 quarterback. And looking at next week, I'll probably look him as maybe a top 12 guy.
You know what? I feel like that's
what do you want me to say here?
No, because I think so. Then the headline is probably this: Richardson struggles as thrower, has a handful of big runs. You see the upside down the line, right? Because for him to be a top 8 quarterback, he does not need to be the super refined thrower, but he needs to get in the end zone at least once as a rusher and maybe run the ball, 12, 14 times in a game.
Yep.
If you think that week one, they're going to be a little more judicious and maybe rely on that extremely deep backfield they have. Why did you guys do this, Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah.
Why have you guys done what you've done?
Yeah.
We're off, but that's a separate port. I think
can't have one headline without the other, though.
Yeah. If he's quarterback 15 or 16, it's didn't quite do enough running and the passing was kind of as advertised.
And
that would be the week
I feel
two headline.
Like people can sort of take their, it'll be confirmation bias week for everyone.
Oh,
right?
That's a good way. Oh,
because the people who see what they see as the talent in Anthony Richardson are going to find the moments and be like, see
this.
If only he had X, Y, and Z, and if you give him a chance, et cetera. And the people who want to see the flaws are going to be like, see, this is why I was worried about
him. We're still doing that with Justin Fields. He's going into year three. You know what I mean?
They're still doing it with Dak Prescott.
You're right.
He's kind of looking at retirement. So ridiculous.
I think we tend to do though. It's a great call. It's really one of the challenges of week one. We are so looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for tonight. I can't wait for Sunday. I can't wait for Sunday night and Monday night. Is that we spent all off season assigning a value to these players. And like if Justin Jefferson has 7 catches for 112 yards and a touchdown, like my reaction is there is no reaction, right? Like that's what you expect the face of fantasy football to do, right? But like I've been big on amongst other players, Chris Olave. If Chris Olave has like 3 catches for 43 yards and no touchdowns in week 1, people are going to be so fired up. Now, if he finishes with, you know, 87 catches for 1,212 yards and 12 touchdowns later on, I don't know why I said 12, but whatever, a huge year, then everything will be fine.
Yeah.
But after week 1, they'll be coming for heads. So you have to sort of find a fine line between like putting weight and stock into week 1, but also understanding this is the smallest sample size we'll have for the entire season.
That's exactly how it's going to play out, right, Chris? Chris Olave is going to have like 3 for 35, and then Michael Thomas is going to have 7 for 125 and 3 touchdowns. And
you we're got
going
to be the like, wrong receiver.
And that's what it's going to be. We always do this every year.
Brees Hall will carry it like 8 times and have 2 touchdowns and, you know, a couple catches, and people will be like, see, right. I knew he was going to be this way out of the game.
Exactly.
That was J.K. Dobbins last year. If I'm not, I need to go. Let me just go Google this and you guys keep talking. I'm pretty sure it was like J.K. Dobbins returns, right? Yeah. He comes back last year and we're like, hey, I really think it's going to be like a pretty like quiet workload for J.K. Dobbins upon his return from like multiple knee injuries, right? I'm pretty sure that was the case. And then it was like his first game back. I guess it was the second game back. All right, he's 13 carries, 41 yards and a touchdown. Okay, I take that back. Here's the big one. In his return after that long stretch, he had 15 carries. He had 0 targets.
Yeah.
But he turned those 15 carries into 120 yards and a touchdown. And then the following week, he gets 13 carries. He has 1 target. That's a solid workload. It is not spectacular. What did you do with those 13 carries? 125 yards. So you're like, okay, I promise you, this is going to level off. Yes. And then all of a sudden, the week later, 12 carries, 0 catches, and he has 49 yards. So like, okay, 4.9 fantasy points ain't going to do it for you.
Right.
But when the guy goes back-to-back weeks with, what, 18 fantasy points to 12.5 fantasy points, you're like, what are you talking about? He's going to have a small workload. Okay, well, he finished the final 2 weeks of the season with fewer than 10 total fantasy points.
Yep.
So eventually, I'm saying this only to note that, like, there is not a lot of grace when it comes to small sample sizes and people believing that your opinions for the past 6 or 7 months are either completely correct or completely incorrect.
We're going to be doing that, I think, with Anthony Richardson for a very long time. And Field, you have a great point. Not having a superstar running back behind him when you planned on it is absolutely going to affect the way that this offense runs. So let's move ahead and talk about one last thing, and it's who we think we're going to plant our flags on our fantasy MVPs for the season.
Way too early.
This is,
no,
I mean,
it's like calling our shot.
Exactly.
This, by the way.
I know, but it's way too early predictions.
Okay. Way too early.
It's like way too early mock drafts, which I love. I'm a sicko for those things. Yeah. Love them. This segment, by the way, presented by Geico. Switch today and see all the ways that you could save. I think it's important to know the fantasy MVP, and I know who each of these two picked. It's not as simple as who scores the most points. It's also not necessarily as simple as like who is the player. Like it's not as simple as like this player was picked high and he pays off. Some of it is like there's a little bit more nuance to it. So let's go around the room and see who each of us picked, and I'll let you have first pick, Stefania.
Yeah, I tried to think actually of who had been fantasy MVPs in past years, and it's not always because we often vote on this. Yep. We have our own awards at the end of the year. We give out awards on the show.
Yeah, we do.
And it's not, when you look at the category, it's not always a player who delivers the most fantasy points.
Right.
But you're looking at things like consistency. Mm-hmm. You're looking at things like how they actually helped their team, amount of times they touched the ball, how they looked, and availability as well. So my pick is Bijan Robinson, because I think in a world where running backs who do both things, both run the ball and catch the ball, is the number is getting fewer and fewer. And you've got a young athlete coming in who proved he can run the ball, average over 4 yards per carry after first contact when he was at Texas. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
But so he, you know, he's a strong runner. He's a power runner, but he's still got the quickness to make guys miss. You know, this is, I watched him when I was at those joint practices.
Yeah.
He is different. It is amazing to watch. And in this sport, where volume is king, when you're talking about, especially when it comes to fantasy opportunity, he is going to have a lot of volume, I believe. And so I think, you know, he's young. He's healthy. We hope he stays that way. He's going to touch the ball a lot. He's going to be involved in all facets of the game. He called himself a playmaker when he was meeting with teams before. He said, don't think of me as a running back. Think of me as a playmaker. Mm. Well, we too, here at the Fantasy Focus, would like to think of you, Bijan, as a playmaker. And so he is my vote for Fantasy MVP.
You know what, Stefania? It's a great pick. One that after I had submitted my initial pick, I wondered whether I had somebody else that I should have considered. And I thought I was going to pick Bijan Robinson. It turned out you had already taken him. I love it. And part of the reason why I think he could end up being the fantasy MVP, besides all the things that you laid out, is the average draft position, right? My criteria might be different than some, but like I wasn't going to pick Justin Jefferson as my MVP because if he delivers expectations, he went first overall, right? Like that's what you're expecting out of the player who was the face of fantasy this year. Bijan Robinson is a great pick. Mine is a similar vein. Running back who's being drafted closer to the end of the first round, maybe the top of the second round. That's Tony Pollard for the Dallas Cowboys, who all offseason we wondered whether the Cowboys would make another big investment in Tony Pollard or in the backfield, and they did not do that. They drafted Deuce Vaughn, but right now the number two back actually looks to be maybe Rico Dowdell in Dallas. Pollard has just so much opportunity, and he's such a great pass catcher that if he ends up as RB3 this season and you're getting him as RB7 or 8, that is the exact criteria that could qualify him to become a fantasy MVP. You think about some of the recent MVPs in fantasy. They include Cooper Kupp a couple of years ago when he went from like wide receiver 18 in the pre-draft process to best player in fantasy by a mile. Travis Kelce has been a recent MVP because of that consistency that Stefania referenced. Also going in the second round, maybe even later in the case of Cooper Kupp. Then you had like the Austin Eckler breakout year. I'm wondering if this is the Austin Eckler type breakout year here for Tony Pollard. The Cowboys said they want to run the football more. That's fine. That would help Tony Pollard. They also did a lot of things this offseason that make me think they're going to throw the ball a ton, given the fact that they have Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, great three receiver set right there. And of course, as we know, with Tony Pollard, his receiving upside is about as high as any running back, perhaps not named Christian McCaffrey or Austin Eckler, could have a massive MVP fantasy season.
I feel like I'm either going to be way wrong or way right on Tony Pollard. You and I have a board bet on Tony Pollard.
Oh,
that's
right. We do. So you hate this pick.
No, I don't hate it because... It might shock people, but I always root for the player. I'm never root for like the injuries or the things that I worry about what could happen. So I'm okay with being totally wrong on it. And everyone can tell me how wrong I was when the season is over. Yep. But my concerns are number one, that, I know that there's not anyone else obvious around him. Still concerned about the volume because we just haven't seen it. We haven't seen that workload for him. He is coming off a major injury. There's more injury exposure. I mean, it's the same argument for Bijan Robinson. I think Tony Pollard is a little more slight. So worry about that a little bit more. And, he flashed so much when he had open lanes. And, he had the benefit of the compliment of Zeke to make him be that fresh guy. I don't know how it's going to look. I'll be interested to see. I feel I'm not quite as optimistic as number three running back overall. But again, you can tell me a time and a week in and week out how wrong I am as the season progresses.
God, I would love nothing more than that. Actually, I wouldn't because I don't like to be like, hey, Stefania, I told you so.
No.
Right? I like to do that to Daniel.
I would do it to Mike.
I do it to Mike all the time.
No, you should. I mean, this is just the cautious in me is like, and we shall see.
Who's your pick?
Fields, you said you didn't want to pick someone like Justin Jefferson, and then you went on to list fantasy MVPs like Travis Kelce and Austin Eckler, which are guys literally at the top of the board.
I meant guys in the past that weren't being drafted. Like when Austin Eckler won MVP in my book, it was because he went, it was like he had been drafted as like RB7 and then skyrockets up to RB1.
So when I look at fantasy MVP, I actually don't think any of us are going to be right. Even the guy that I picked is not the way that I normally do it.
Oh, okay.
The way that I look at fantasy MVP and vote at it at the end of the year is we have guys like Devonta Smith, who was like wide receiver 31 being drafted last year, turned into wide receiver 9.
Right.
Ramondre Stevenson, who was outside the top 30 at running back, that became a top 12 running back for your fantasy team.
Sure.
Guys that cost you basically nothing and turned into a legitimate starter. Those guys are the guys that I look at MVPs because when you draft the guy at the top of the board, it's all they're doing is just the expectation of what you drafted them as, in my estimation, right?
Okay.
In spite of that, I still said Jamar Chase because there's one wide receiver.
Because he's number two and not number one.
There's one wide receiver last year that averaged more than 11 targets per game. 11. And it was Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, I was going to say Drake London. It's a joke. It's a joke, people. Sorry.
Stop. I'm mad. Drake London may have had a higher target share than Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
But Ja'Marr Chase still had a 29% target share in one of the most pass-heavy offenses in the NFL. He's got Joe Burrow throwing in the football. I know we know how good T. Higgins is.
And we know how Joe Burrow feels about throwing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase.
We know they love each other. Exactly.
Yes.
And so if he was seeing that amount of volume last year, the idea that we were all in on Justin Jefferson, I'm in on Justin Jefferson as a number one overall pick, but they're like, I love what Ja'Marr Chase can potentially be in this Bengals offense. If he didn't miss those five games last year, we might be having a different conversation about who the best wide receiver in football is, because he averaged over 20 fantasy points per game in his sophomore year.
Me likey, this one.
What he's going to do here in his third year, I am super excited about. So, you know, not a huge, I mean, a massive limb. No, not a huge limb. Which way do you say it? What a limb to go out on, Daniel. Ja'Marr Chase. Which one was the...
Going out
on I went out on a limb. That's a huge limb. I went out on a huge limb, meaning the limb isn't going to break underneath me.
I feel like when we talk about going out on a limb, we never define like the structural integrity of it.
Of
we
the
just
limb,
say it's
right?
a limb.
Yeah, you're going out on a limb, like, you know, you're going away from the trunk.
Basically, not really going out on a limb, because I'm talking about Ja'Marr Chase.
Not going that far.
Oh, because if it would be a huge limb, would you call it like something different?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's anyway. Ja'Marr Chase. And that I like that pick too. I love Ja'Marr Chase as a talent. Cincinnati has so many options.
Yes, they do.
It'd really be interesting to see if it stays that way. By the way, I'm just gonna throw this in there now. Joe Burrow's gonna play. You know, if anybody's wondering, I mean, he's pretty much given us all the indications that he is going to play and he feels good. And by the way, he pointed out that he was able to do all his conditioning and all that stuff while he was out with the calf, because it wasn't like last year with the appendix.
Yep.
And he was just trying to get his weight back. So
I'd start him.
You know.
This week?
Going out on a limb.
Yeah,
I'm going out on a big limb there. Hey.
All right. I think that's going to do it for today's show, guys. We had so much good stuff. A Thursday Night Football preview, bunch of injury.
I cannot wait.
I am so ready for football.
Should I just like pay homage to Mike Clay right now? Hey, I got the Chiefs 27.2, Lions 22.6.
Mike actually let me know he's taking the Lions today. You can go ahead and put it on the board for that one.
Wow. Okay.
So that's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm picturing that not happening.
Hey, we love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We're going to be back tomorrow. Obviously, a whole week one preview from Field, Mike, and I. It is going to be fantastic. Stefania, you're going to be here for a little bit
of that? Should be here for injuries, right?
Not tomorrow.
Right.
Not tomorrow.
Okay.
Not
we've tomorrow. Got, but I do think, Daniel, don't turn off the stream right now and don't stop listening, because we have a very special conclusion to the show. Tell us more.
We do. The Squirrel Report came out last week. Episode one did. We're going to have episode two coming out today.
ESPN Minus Plus.
But we got a little bit of love in case you guys haven't seen it. We put up the infomercial of what we've been doing, so make sure you check it out. We think we had a ton of fun with it. David Presley, who's the producer of Focus.
Very funny.
And Jackson Agello, who's one of our other producers. Fantastic. We've been putting it together. So please check it out. It's been a ton of fun. It's on YouTube. Come back tomorrow for our big week one preview. We love you guys. Don't forget to love each other.
Is it going to roll right now?
It's about to after I say this.
Okay, don't move a muscle if you're watching right now.
We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Watch this, please, for me. I love you.
Did you draft a quarterback in the first round last year? Call this number. Do you want to be an elite nerd like Mike Clay this year? Then call this number.
Do you lie awake at night wondering what fab is?
You getting tired of being bullied by your coworkers for being bad at fantasy football? Then call this number. Is your partner annoyed at how much time you spend playing fake football and you don't even have a fake trophy to show for it? Then call this number. Still don't believe the Squirrel Report hotline works? Here's one of our billions of testimonials.
I lost my fantasy football league and I had to fly across the country for 36 straight hours. I missed my sister's wedding, I had a shower in a Detroit airport, and my mom wouldn't talk to me anymore. But then I called the Squirrel Report hotline and my life's changed. I'm now a champion and I'm hosting Thanksgiving. I love you, Mom.
I love your mom too, Kevin.
Call that number. That's actually a real phone number.
Do
Leave
it.
Me a message.
Oh, I'm calling.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. She's your favorite gal. She's to find your best.